Blog Talk Radio.
This is a dangerous group. The groups that we're.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What's this nonsense?
All of this!
I'm young. I'm handsome. I'm fast. I'm pretty. And can't possibly be beat.
Pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I have a dream. I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, yes, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, yes, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, yes. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia, yes. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee, yes. Let freedom ring from every hill and Mole Hill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, we'll be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, "When will you be satisfied?" We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. No. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. Yes. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. A dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
It's your boy Lil Hot the Money Man. and you are now tuned in to the number one radio station, my radio station, Lawless Radio, homie.
Oh, what's the business? What's the business? What's the business? You already know what it is, baby. It's the Kevin and M.E. Lawless Radio is on live. Y'all know what to do right about now. Call a friend and tell a friend and bring about four or five friends so we can get it in. Next 2 hours, we going to do what it is we do on Lawless Radio, and that is to pimp your local come up. Underground, unsigned, independent music, baby. Hey, man, throughout the show, man, I'll be bringing y'all back that speech. This marks the 50th anniversary of that speech. You know, the implications and everything that was said in there. You know, we're talking about a dream. He had a dream where you and I would be able to do what it is we do here on Lawless Radio, and that is exercise our freedom of speech. You know, we can say what it is we want to say without fear of being tarred and feathered. A lot of them, you know, walked that beat, jailed, killed, a lot of that just for something as simplistic as what it is we're doing here, and that is gathering around the computer, phone, whatever device it is you're listening to Lawless Radio on right now. For my people in the chat room, I'm going to try to get in the chat room with y'all, but I'm definitely hitting the phone line. So if anybody want to hit me, keep it brief, keep it clean, keep it respectable. But y'all hit me up at 646-478-5209. I got a 404-503. Let me get you in. Caller, who we got on the line? Lawless Radio, 404-503. Who we got on the line?
You got M.E. the Queen.
Oh, what number you calling me from, lady?
My regular number. I think we did something wrong here, but it's all good. I
hey,
just want to say right now,
back.
What's up, world? It's your girl, M.E. the Queen, hailing from North Carolina, where I'm so proud to be Southern. But also down here with the peaches, and I'm so happy, just so happy, so overjoyed to be in a state, in a city where Martin Luther King was born and raised. He,
yeah.
You know, not only was he born and raised, but he became a minister. He learned, he taught, he preached. And I'm so moved right now that, you know, everything I've ever thought of this week, you know, everything, all the negative things, the things I just wanted to talk about to, you know, to the gripe, to laugh about, you know, be you know, the MTV Video Awards really don't even matter right now. Listen to that speech again. Like I you know, can tell that I just went ahead and printed it out, you know, today, you know, just because I'm just so moved that this is the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King standing before thousands and thousands of people at the Lincoln Center, saying that he had a dream for the whole world to hear, something that, you know, that actually came into fruition. It took time, and it took patience, it took faith, it took the act of God, but it has happened. I am so proud to be Black right now. I'm so proud to, you know, to say that I am a Black woman, not just African-American. I'm a Black woman, you know, a woman of color. I'm intelligent. I have education. I'm free. I can vote. You know, I can exercise my rights, you know, through the amendments. I can do everything I've wanted to do, you know, through Christ strengthening in me and through a man who God spoke through. I'm just moved.
Yes. And
but
I
at the end of the day, you know, it's just, oh, my God, you just don't know. It's just a wonderful feeling just to be sitting here, you know, on the Grit Grind show. This is the Grit Grind Wednesday, but right now,
Grit Grind Wednesday.
I have a dream
a
Wednesday.
A dream Wednesday, baby. There you go. It is I Have a Dream Wednesday, and I mean,
not only
are
we supporting our local company, but we're supporting our Black people right now, even as we speak. We're not only just supporting our Black people, but we're uplifting.
Yes,
and that's just, I mean, I'm so, my heart is so full right now. Just so full.
But speaking of uplifting right now, everybody know that, you know, few months ago, I said that I was going to be, you know, having the guest host on, you know, and at that time I'd be, you know, filling out my guest host, you know, to see if they could become my permanent host. Well, I tell y'all here today, and it's no surprise to my people listening, ME the Queen is my permanent host. You know, we had a couple other people, you know, that, you know, I said, yeah, we're gonna, I'm gonna get a chance to try y'all out. And I kid you not, I love the chemistry. I love everything it is she brings to the show. I love everything it is she brings to me personally. And that's what this is all about. It's not about, you know, us pushing buttons, you know, playing radio and stuff like that. I mean, we've got to be supportive of each other, and the chemistry has got to be there. And the chemistry between her and I is undeniable. It is simply that. I really love her as a person and what she brings to the team. And it was no doubt. I know I got a few people that, you know, as a matter of fact, I got one message saying, man, that's phony, that's fake, you know. But this is what makes sense for business. This is what makes sense for business. And when you have something that is not broken, you don't go and try to fix it. And for these past few months, there has been nothing to fix. So how can that be phony? You know, and I'm not getting it, but hey, you're always going to have spoiled sports, you know. But to them, I still say I love you. I embrace you. None of this stuff is personal. None of this is personal. You know, this is what it is. And, I mean, there can only be one winner. There's no such thing as co-winner. You know what I'm saying?
And now that I'm so honored.
But you know what? Now that I've taken time to be serious and humble, now I got to get back to being TL. Like Nelly said, two is not a winner. Three, nobody remembers. What is it?
That's right.
Me? Number one. Hey, we got a 414. Let's see this 414. 414-324. Who we got on the line?
Hey, yours and only yours, Mel Lawless. How are you doing, good? Hi, Miriam. Hey.
Hey,
what's good? Hey, honey.
Man, you know what? When you hear that, when you hear, you know, because I played it back to back on purpose,
right?
You know, because
anybody that missed a part of it.
Yeah, anybody that missed a part of it, I wanted them to hear it all. But when you think about, when you hear the I Have a Dream speech, you know, what to you personally, what out of you personally, that dream, a dream that you think you could have of his, and remember, his was unselfish. His was a dream for the world. I mean, I know it was a beneficial to us blacks, but we talking about the Latinos, Italians, the Greeks. We're talking about all of these people. I think President Obama said it best today. We're talking about, you know, the poor white steel worker. We're talking about the black sharecropper. We're talking about the immigrant dishwasher. We're talking about the Hispanic steel worker. We're talking about all people that were oppressed and felt that they would never see the light of freedom. You know, you yourself personally, what comes to your mind? You know, what does your heart good out of hearing that?
Well, first and foremost, I must say that it brings goosebumps to me. Like, I get this feeling like of overjoyed. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if you all get it. I know y'all do, but it's different for everybody. But it just feels like I'm still here, and I'm here, and it's like I was there. Because we are still here. We still fighting, but we do. I'm able to vote. You know, I'm able to own my own home. I'm able to, you know, have a nice job. I'm able to raise my kids and have them go to public schools. And, you know, so for me, it's done. It's given me avenues to things that they were not exposed to. But wow. I still get goosebumps every time I hear that speech. And with you playing it back to back, I still have goosebumps. I really do.
Yes.
I'm in tears. Yes. I'm just so moved. Like, yes. I have like little tear ducts and stuff in my eye just thinking about how, you know, I, the chairman, are sitting here, you know, doing something that never could have been done before.
Ooh.
1960. You know, 1960. You know, that just could not have been done. The only black people that were on radio, you know, are basically people that, you know, that they look almost white. You know,
they elected few.
Right. Exactly. They had a certain elegance about them that won white people over. But if they didn't have that, they were not, you know, they weren't accepted, you know. And it's just like, and I think about just like what these people before us had to go through, these entertainers before us had to go through, you know, with Dorothy Dandridge, you know, performing at the Copacabana, but she couldn't, she couldn't use the pool. You know, like Ella Fitzgerald's. Lena Horne, and you know, they performing at places where they couldn't stay at the hotel. They couldn't, you know, they had to come through the back door. But
the
they're just
the
star.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, wow.
It's still sending shockwaves through my body to be able to embrace this and be able to say yes. We're getting better. We're not always all the way there, but we're getting there. It's better. And, you know, and I always tell the chairman, I always tell him, thank you for giving me even opportunities, and all of us, you know, this on Lawless, opportunities that we probably wouldn't have had with somebody else.
And y'all thank y'all for giving me the opportunity. I said that. I mean, y'all make me a better person. But you know what? I gotta stop right now and I gotta address something. I got a young man, Jamal, who's upset. He says, "Man, I can't believe you doing this show, but you wouldn't do the Trayvon Martin show. What's the difference between these?" I think that's hypocritical, Jamal.
Wow.
Let me explain to you what the difference is. The difference is nobody was there for the Trayvon situation. I agree that a child was killed, but I also agree that I was not there to understand the circumstances. Okay? I agree that justice, as we would say, you know, was enacted on how they found that case to be. But me, myself, you know, for my reasons, I wasn't, you know, one of those running around talking about lynching anybody. That wasn't lynched the guy or nothing like that. I believe that he killed a kid, and he will face justice. But I will never do a show talking about lynching no person. That is not what Lawless Radio is about. I will never be a vigilante on radio. The difference between the two, J-Mal, and because you're young, I want to take the opportunity to educate a young brother. Because you're young, maybe you don't understand, but the difference between the two was the fact that we had people that were beat, that were killed, that were hung, that were lynched just for looking the way you look in the mirror. That is a big difference, okay? This guy killed that kid. We still don't know the reason behind it. Again, none of us were in that alley. We agreed that he killed that kid, but we're talking about millions were being slaughtered. When he made this speech, he was speaking for you to be able to get on Facebook and post the stupid stuff like what I see on your page. All of that niggas be like, bitches be like, and that weed that you have on your page, you know, misusing your freedom, he paid, gave his life for that. So there is a big difference, and I think you owe him a little bit more homage, a little bit more respect than all of those who fell before you than to question the difference that they made. Because, yes, they did make a difference in your life. If those dogs wasn't biting them, if they weren't being hosed, if they weren't being beaten, if all that stuff didn't happen to them, again, the stupid stuff that you're posting on Facebook right now, you would be free to do. I advise
Absolutely.
You to go and read. Actually read that speech. Understand the words. I will be playing it throughout this show, but I want you to go. I want you to read that speech. I want you to find out what he wanted for you individually. You as a person, you as a black person in America, find out what he wanted for you, and you'll understand what the difference was. no doubt about why he died. There's no doubt about why he was murdered. There was no doubt about what his dream was. There was no doubt about what he stood for. But we do have a lot of doubts about that case. Okay?
You know, so I want to ask something, Chairman.
Hmm?
I want to ask something real quick because I feel compelled to say this. Think about this, Jamal. If you're out there listening, and I hope that you are. I pray that you are. Because if it was for Dr. Martin Luther King sacrificing his life, you know, for our equality and justice for the black people and us, you know, being looked at as humans, you know, the Trayvon Martin case, it would have never gotten tried. That it would have been just like, you know, young.
Okay.
You know, it would have been just like, you know. Emmett Till. These people never went to trial for killing this little 14-year-old boy. I mean, they tortured this boy. He was a kid. He was younger than Trayvon Martin. Nobody was ever tried for it. Nobody.
Wow.
So if it wasn't for, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King and what he contributed to our race, not just not the black race, but just humanity, period, this case would not have been tried. The boy would have been killed. His parents would have buried him, and that would have been the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been his
Tell me.
That would have been the outcome of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to say, you know, for Jamal, for you to say something like that, you know, I want to say so bad, get your life. But I want to, but what I want to say more than that is get God.
Man.
That's what I
want to
say more than that.
Right. You know what? I think I'm gonna read this one here. Guy Logan. Logan says, Jamal, please listen to that speech in its entirety and understand the plight that black people went through. Said, please, Chairman, educate him. As a white male, listening to that speech every time, I cry because it was all unfair. If he does not understand the difference, advise him to look up the living conditions before this speech came about and figure out if he'd like to live then or now. I think that's a good question.
It is a very good question.
And I mean that is deep. That is deep. You know, and I'm gonna say it. You telling me the white guy get it and you don't get it, Jamal? The living conditions were totally different, and the freedoms that you have now, kid, you would not have had then. You know what? I'm gonna rewind. I was just watching Back to the Future. Not Back to the Future, but Men in Black 3. I just watched that a couple of nights ago, and I dig the movie. Anybody that know the chairman know I love time travel because I watch for mistakes during time travel. You know, time travel is a circle, so you have got to tell a circular story. So I watch for it, right? Men in Black, the guy told him when he got ready to go, he said, man, you know, you got to make sure you come back. You know, he said, because that wasn't a good time for your people, you know? And he was sending them back to the '60s. Okay. And I mean that's what I said now to my man Jamal. I said it back to Jamal, you know, like my man Logan said, you know, you gotta look and figure out why that speech was so beneficial and what that speech actually did, you know, like I said, the implications and everything. You know, he saw today. Well, I take that back because had he been here today, he'd shed tears of his own, you know, because a lot of us are not utilizing. Yeah, a lot of us are not utilizing the freedoms. I got a chance to speak today at Louise Red Law School, and I will be doing so again next week, you know, speaking to the 8th grade graduation class. And I was so glad that I did it on today. I don't believe that, you know, and I'm my hardest critic, but I don't believe that I did the job that Obama did in summing up, you know, that speech. You know, because I mean, I listened to his and he did so good, and I really tried to bat home the importance of had that never happened, had that never occurred, you know, and I tried to bat it home, and I was glad that the school's makeup is so mixed. You know, so there are so, you know, you have so many Hindu children, so many Arabic children, so many black children, so many white children, so many Spanish children, so many Asian children, so many mixed children. And I was glad of my audience. I was really glad of my audience, you know, because when we're talking about that, we're talking about the fact that they were able to be in that school together. There was no dividing lines keeping them separated. There were no police making sure they didn't cross the line. They were in that school because their parents made the choice to put them in that school, the conscientious decision to allow them to all be educated together, you know.
Absolutely.
And I lost track of the speech because my direction at that point was batting to home, you know, the importance of remembering this as they go through their life. Because, I mean, because you're educated together don't mean that continues your views. I was watching the show, and Jan's getting straight, and the kid's mother, you know, she said, "I don't know why he's so racist." She said, I was raised, and I raised him in a mixed area, you know, and I think it was, you know, when he went off to high school, you know, which was an all-white high school, I think that changed him, you know, and I wanted them to remember this portion here because it goes up to eighth grade. You know, y'all are in this school together. Y'all are being educated together. You're playing together. You're having fun. Take the opportunity to learn each other as opposed to the stereotypes that, you know, society throw out, you know. And, you know, I pointed out everybody, you know, I got a chance to touch on all the stereotypes for the different ethnicities, you know, amongst the kids. You know, I don't want this kid thinking this about this kid, and did it. Principal really responded as a result. I'm back there next week. But but I really wanted it to be something to where, you know, the kids can really understand, and I don't think anybody really understands the importance of, you know, silly putty. And that's what I call it, silly
mm-hmm.
putty, because that's what a child's mind is. A child's mind is silly putty. It has no shape. It has no structure. It gains this shape and structure from all the experiences. So all the information we get, you know, we get to these kids, it shapes the mind. It creates what that mind becomes, you know. So I really, 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 really wanted to do that. And I'll be back there. I'll be back there next week because, you know, actually when I was there this week, we was actually spoken talking about future choices as far as, you know, careers and things of that nature. But because today was what it was, I wanted to speak on, you know, exactly what my heart wanted me to say to the kids.
Exactly. What God wanted you to talk about today.
Yes,
definitely.
Yes, yes,
I mean,
yes.
You're doing God's work right now, and that's a beautiful thing because, you know, it's not a fluke, you know, that, you know, today, you know, is you know, the 50th anniversary, and it landed on, you know, Grit Grind Wednesday, something that, you know, we support our local come up. And then, you know, we talk about grinding, you know, something that black people, you know, need to continue to do more of. So we can be in positions of power. You know, I think about, you know, stories my parents used to tell us back in the day. You know, my father was born 1943. My mother was born 1950. My mother graduated high school in 1969. You know, her school, Aiden Griffin High School, well, it was Aiden High School back then, but then they combined the two schools. The year after she graduated, which was 1970, it became integrated.
Yeah.
My mother went to a segregated school. My father went to segregated school. My father went to school. It was called West Craven High School. It was on, you know, eastern coastal North Carolina. But back then it was called Newbold. But, you know, years later, when it became integrated, they decided to call it West Craven. You know, they represented the whole county. You know, that means, you know, white and black kids went to school together. You know, it's like the school I went to. You know, in North Carolina, I graduated from Franklinton High School in 19, blah, 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 blah. But at the same token, you know, many years before I even, you know, entered high school, it was a segregated school. It was called something totally different. You know, I went to school, I went to the same high school as the Bibby brothers. You know, Michael Bibby that plays in the NBA? His father and his uncle graduated from my high school. One played basketball, one played baseball, the Bibby brothers. You walk into my high school? You know, there's a big old, you know, trophy cases of, you know, trophies, you know, ribbons, awards, all types of memorabilia of the Bibby brothers, what they contributed, you know, to the sports arena in our high school. And when they went to our school, it was segregated then. And I think about all those things. You know, my mom, you know, telling us, you know, when her and my father, you know, went out on dates because they met in 68 before she graduated high school. You know,
right.
they you know, she, you know, remember going to, you know, restaurants having to go in through the back door and, you know,
yeah.
here, you know, whites only, blacks only. And I think about those things, and I think about, like, good gracious, the things they went through to, you know, to enjoy themselves, to have a nice dinner, to go to a movie.
Right.
And these kids, you know, don't even appreciate, you know, you go to Stonecrest Mall, you know, up here in Lithonia. You know, my daughter, you know, I could take her and her friends and stuff up there and drop them off, and I would be praying, like, Lord, don't let nothing happen to those kids.
Yep.
Not just my kids, but the rest of them, because you got the kids up there shooting. You know, they're acting the fool, and there's police everywhere patrolling
yep.
the area, because those kids don't know how to act because they're not appreciative of
right.
what they have, and they don't think about, you know, because they don't know. You know, unless
right.
unless we talk about them and remind them of what our parents and grandparents and great uncles, uncles, whatever, went through, you know, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get you. You should be glad you have a mall that you can go to where, you know, you can walk around freely. It, you know, there's white people, there's black people. You know, nobody's watching you. Nobody's
down.
Following you. Nobody's saying that, you know, you have to stand over here because you're black and you and white's over here. You know?
Right.
It just,
right.
you know, I wish that they could think like how we think. But, you know, it would take us, you know, as parents and just as adults
mm-hmm.
that, you know, just to make them realize, hey, it was not easy, you know, before we came along. It was not easy before I came along. You need to know these things. You need to appreciate what you have and not, you know, not destroy it. Not sit up here and you know, fight. You know, not sit up here
right.
and you know, have these gangs up here at the mall meeting up to fight. You know, gunplay.
Right.
Appreciate
right.
what you have. You know, there would be no Stonecrest Mall, and y'all would not be hanging out like that and on public transportation like that if it wasn't for, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, having a dream and having a mission that God put in place before that man was even born.
But then
you know,
also,
that was pre-existing.
Right, but then also the way, you know, another way to look at it, which I don't think, you know, a lot of the kids look at it, is he had this dream. But it was all the people collectively that brought
exactly.
it to fruition, because he was gone. He's gone, you know. And while all of these things are going on, you know, when you look and see, I mean, we went to Savannah, went down to Savannah, you know, took Mamala down, and I mean, you know, got out there, and you know, we hit this one area that reminded me of like Back to the Future, right? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
man, I done went back in time. Like, nah, mama, we ain't nothing around here. I'm looking for a lynching booth or something. You know the way it looked, you know. And then next thing you know, man, you know exactly what I seen, man. I seen little poo poo. I seen little poo poo.
Wow.
You know little poo poo. You know little poo poo. One that got that nappy hair, man, with his pants around his knees, man. Oh yeah, one of these things is not like the other.
I know that's right.
I said, now where the hell is the lynching booth so I can take this bastard down?
Okay. You know what's funny though? It is, you know, like my family and stuff and cousins up there in New York and stuff, they thought that when they came down to the South that it was gonna be like, you know, they're gonna get lynched. If a white person approached them that they were gonna, you know, try to harm them in some sort of way. You know,
right,
until they
right.
realize, okay, this is a different South. You know, times have changed.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
crazy.
And plus, we own pistols now.
<You're darn laughs>
oh, hey,
I
let
would
me,
never
let
be
me,
without
let me,
one.
hey, let's get Miss Tippy Red in here real brief. What's going on with you, bro? What's happening, man?
Hey, what up, man?
What's up, man?
Yeah, we saw that on Fox News today.
Yeah.
We saw that, you know, I ain't got no, you know, the 50th anniversary was a good way to make a tribute. And I actually went and stood on the exact spot where he made his speech.
There you
in
go.
In Lincoln Memorial. And what old girl was talking about, what's her name?
You tell me her name. Who's old girl?
Dorothy Dandridge. Okay.
Oh, okay. But are you referring to me?
I was thinking about the other one that moved to France and stayed there.
Oh, Josephine Baker. Absolutely.
Right, Josephine Baker. Right.
One of my idols. One of my idols.
Josephine Baker. Josephine. Okay. Thank you. I knew it was. Thank you. Josephine Baker. I was up all night thinking about what her name was. Josephine Baker. You're exactly right. Okay, can I say something else? Can we please celebrate Malcolm the same way we celebrate Dr. King?
I never stopped you from celebrating Malcolm.
I mean, they were both saying the same thing. One was saying nonviolence. The other one was saying by any means necessary. But they were both talking about the same thing. But I will say
let me say this.
Okay,
you're too late to say this. I already hit you. Let me say this. Because I believe that you are going somewhere in the direction of this where I don't think that you fully understand. But me and Brother El Hajj Malik Shabazz, he was actually one of my heroes. Okay, and I have never said that we can't celebrate Malcolm X's birthday, but I don't think you realize that we're talking about on this day, this man saw the dream of the freedom for you to celebrate that birthday. So there is no asking, can you celebrate something? You have the freedom to celebrate it. And I recognize both birthdays the same. Yes, I do understand the importance of nonviolence. I understand that. But I do also understand by any means necessary. Yes, I do. Because I am actually a by any means necessary type of guy. I'm a Gemini, remember? I'm a Gemini. I ain't got red hair, but I understand. Brother El Hajj Malik Shabazz.
But you know what? I believe the same theory. You know, any means necessary, but I believe in finding a peaceful solution first.
There you go. If you can find a peaceful solution, I am all for it. But if I got to put my fingerprints on you and have Grissom try to figure out what happened... Hey... I'm going to give y'all this speech again, man. Y'all listen, man. We're going to get some music, come back, man, and I want to try to read some of this Facebook feedback, man, a little bit later on in the show, man. We got Sherm the Man going to come, man. A new song, Free at Last. I got a chance to check it out, man. I want y'all to check it out as well.
Okay.
Hey, y'all stay right there. All right, it's Lawless Radio, Quick Grind, the Chairman and the Queen, baby.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, J.R.
I have a dream.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights When will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. No. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. Yes. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. A dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands
and singing the words of the old Negro spiritual. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
I've been going through a whole lot of troubles, man. Trials and tribulations. I'm just trying to be a better man. Looking for a better day. Let's go.
Somebody help me. Cause it feels like I'm dying on the inside. Somebody help me. And sometimes I gotta swallow my pride.
But I'm in it, innocent, working with the expectations of being filthy rich. I done stumbled and failed, but got back at it. To the streets, I'm addicted just like a addict. I wanna make a better way, live a better life, be a better man while making my girl a better wife. Murder rate high, kids killing kids. It's bad when your homies living better in the pen. Every day that pass, I'm getting older. Faith getting weaker, heart getting colder. Maybe I ain't got what it take and won't acknowledge it. Safe to say I waited too late to be a college kid. So I gotta man up if I wanna eat. Get the wind under my wings, ground beneath my feet. This can't be life cause I ain't living well. I wanna break down but can't cause I refuse to fail.
Cause it feels like I'm dying on the inside. Somebody help me.
I'm begging for help, but this a cruel world. They say life is a bitch and she a cruel girl. So the clan be trying to help the land deep, but the rap game is slow, looking for plan B. And they say a real man don't cry. Man crying probably told that lie. Cause I cried like a baby when I found out my man got popped and cried. Most seen him in that box, boo-boo, I blame me. If I made pop, you wouldn't have been around. We would have been on the road, rocking plenty crowds. So I feel like a failure. Didn't get to tell you that I love you, cause you would stand up. I can't lose another brother, so I gotta work hard, be a better son to my mother. Be a role model for my son and my daughter. Lord, help me get it all in order. I'm begging now.
Cause it feels like I'm dying on the inside.
Watching the news each and every day, and I'm crying like a fool each and every day, and I feel like I'ma lose each and every day. Wish I could hop on the broom and just fly away. The front yard of our home should be super safe, so our kids can play and not catch a stray. My heart go to them babies with deep sentiments. Them kids lost their life and they was innocent, so we gotta step it up, gotta put the weapons up. Knocking off our own kind really ain't helping us. I done did dirt, played that hand, walked away when I could save that man. With all of my years doing wrong, if I can save our land, I'ma die trying to save our land. That's effort though. This a new day and I'm going all out. If you real, you gotta feel it. Help me as I call out. Boom.
Cause it feels like I'm dying on the inside. Somebody help me. Cause it
this is the realest song I ever wrote. Got on this track and I'm pulling my heart out. Yeah, it's your boy Bo Deal, boss of Chicago, ground up representative, Killer Clan Chief, the Grand Wizard. Support your local come up at Lawless Radio. You already know what it do, man. Get right or get left. Bo. Sweeper!
Things are gonna get easier. They gonna get easier. stumbling at times, but guess what? We all do. Filthy, rich, dirt, poor, saints, and the small too. We all stand tall, yeah, we all got a call too. But give something back to the ones that gave their all to you. Things are gonna get easier, you gotta believe it. Things are gonna get easier, they gonna get easier.
To your destiny, girl, is a victory. F-L-O-A-T.
No, 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 no.
Yeah. We about to do this right now.
Let me know, I got what you need,
what
yeah.
You
ain't up
girl.
In this trench coat, I got a lot of seats,
yeah.
Throwing C-notes, seeing dead people. I am never scared,
am
never scared,
scared
that's my team. Everyone's a weatherman, they say they make it
rain.
Dollars on the floor, but yeah,
it
feel like there's no change. That's what I'ma make, I'm on my Obama. Shout out to my haters, that's that word to your mama. Hey girl, I know you think I'm all about the play, girl. But if you let me, I can let you have your way, girl. Hey girl, I forgot to get your name. Everything about you, including your last name. The mother fella's messing up your hair with all the rain. Lonely at the top, so baby, join me on this chain. The face of spade and you can get loose. I'm your king of hearts, you'll be my queen of diamonds.
Yeah.
As long as I'm around, baby girl, we gon' be shining. Hey girl, I know you're doubting everything I say, girl. Probably thinking that I'm running games, but
running
I
game.
Don't play, girl. Oops, I forgot to get your name, girl. See, I got a swagger that'll make you wanna roll. Hop up in my whip, just say the word and we can go.
It's
only at the top, so girl, I really need to know.
No.
It's your girl, and Michelle, reminding you to keep it locked right here on LawlessRadio.com.
Hey, that's it right there. Now, I got to read this real quick for you, Queen. This is something. I just got this friend request, and I accept it like I do them all. Let me read you what I just got. It said, Mr. TL, thank you for your show you do. I think what you said to that boy is right, because we have a lot of people that pay dues. So when we get older, we can go far in this world. I like the pen you gave us. I hope you come back to my class. So I asked, you know, who is this? You know, because the picture is an older person, you know, so come back to our class. The kid's name is Ernesto. He attends Louise Redlock, the school I went to today. 13-year-old kid who obviously got what it is. Ernesto, hey, thank you, first off, for tuning in to the show. I hope you don't get in trouble being up late, but I appreciate that. I appreciate that, but this is what I'm talking about. You see, when they start talking about the dream wasn't just for one group of people. This dream was for a whole vast people. People don't realize we had so many people that were oppressed during that time. Yes, blacks were the majority of the oppressed, but our Spanish, our Asians, you know, everybody that came here, you know, was actually through, you know, into a similar situation. So when you hear about that, you know, I think about, you know, kids like him. You know, that's what comes to my mind. You know, a kid like this, you know, here it is, you know, his parents came here and you know his parents wanted something for him. And he's pursuing it. And I'm glad that he did understand what it was I was saying. And I'm glad that he actually got the opportunity to hear the show at the point where I was talking to what was J-Mall. I'm glad he was actually listening to the show when I spoke to J-Mall, because those are the people I want to talk to. Those are the kids that I want to talk to. You know, understand the opportunities afforded you that weren't afforded to your parent. And when he said, you know, what made me ask, you know, when we get older, you know, the picture, I'm assuming this is his mother or older sister's Facebook page that he got me from, you know, the flyers and the pens and stuff that I give to the kids, you know, of course I have my Facebook off. So I'm assuming this is his mother or sister's page he contacted me from. But still, you know, when I say older, but for him to understand that, you know, people older than him, you know, pay dues for him, you know, and that's the way it is. People before me pay dues for me. I'm paying dues for somebody. Now somebody behind me is going to pay dues for somebody, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to keep going. We're supposed to keep gradually moving up. If I don't make any progressions, then the people behind me don't have any benefits. And if the people behind me don't make any progressions, the people behind them don't have any benefits. And we basically lived our life for nothing because we haven't left anything for anybody. Oh, man, I got an Eli caller. I know that 847. I got an 847-338. Who we got on the line?
Hey, it's Jay Silva.
Jay Silva, what's up, mommy?
What's up?
You tell me what's going on, baby.
Oh, my God, too much. Too much.
Hey, man, yeah, it is. Hey, y'all, I'm finna go ahead and start a petition, and I want y'all to all sign my petition. I'm trying to get Jay Silva to do a Lawless Radio After Dark show. I'm finna start my petition. I want y'all to sign my petition. We finna put some pressure on Jay Silva, y'all. We finna make her come to Lawless Radio. That's it. I'm putting it out there, baby.
Hey, you know what, though? I just want to thank you for, like, all your support. I mean, it means a lot. Like, honestly, though, I mean, a lot of people at work, like, you know, ask me, are you okay? Are you okay? But I'm cool. Like, I'm better than ever, honestly. But I just want to thank you, you know, for having my back. And it means the world. It really does.
No doubt, Jay. Like I said, day one, Jay, I'm just TL. That's all I am. I'm just TL, man. I mean, you right with me, I'm right with you, and it's as simple as that. You know, I'm of my word. If you can't stand on your word, swearing on stacks of Bibles and all the rest of that stuff is meaningless. You need to be able to stand on your word, and I can stand on my word any day, and I can look myself in the mirror and smile and love what I look at every day. because I know, you know, I'm genuine and I'm a man of his word.
And that's what it's all about, just being genuine. Like, at the end of the day, as long as I'm okay with me, I'm all good.
Yeah.
That's all.
And, hey, I mean, for my listeners, you know, I'm not gonna put it all out there, but Jay definitely has a story, and it is something that I really believe that a lot of us, you know, a lot of people in general, especially artists, can really, really benefit from, and they can really learn from, you know. And me, myself, being from Chicago and seeing that the old Chicago practice is still, you know, alive and well, it really pains me, because I know what made me leave Chicago and go to Cali. I know what made me leave Chicago and go to New York. I know what made me leave Chicago and come here to ATL, you know, and it's our unfair practices there, you know, with our artists, with our musicians, you know, with our industry, period. And it's bad to see that it's alive and well. And you would think that today a lot of people learned from yesterday and they tried to do it differently, but they are not doing it differently. And it pains me. I'm ashamed. I'm disgusted. And when I deal with these Atlanta artists out here, when I deal with this Atlanta industry, it really makes me weak for Chicago, because these guys out here, these people out here are so genuine. These people actually want to help you for the principle of helping you, you know, and that,
right.
I'm not used to that from Chicago. In Chicago, they put on a mask, they put a gun in your back, and you signing your life away. That's what I'm used to in Chicago. In Atlanta,
oh, yeah. The thing is like people get done wrong and they swear up and down, you know, they talk about Chicago this, Chicago that, exactly what you're saying about Chicago, but then mm-hmm. they turn around and become that. They become part of the problem. And it's like you're not even trying to correct. It's like it turns them into something else. And I refuse to be turned into anything like that. That's not how my mom and my dad raised me. I'm not a backstabber. I'm not, you know, somebody, I'm not somebody waiting for the day that you do me wrong. I'm not sitting here waiting for that. You know, I may be naive sometimes. Like, my problem has always been, like, I take people for their word until, you know, they do something to do me wrong. But I'm not going to sit there waiting, gathering evidence on you for one day when I may need to backstab you. That's not how I roll. I feel like, you know, everybody, Chicago can change, but nobody really speaks up on it, honestly.
Right.
Everyone just talks about it, talks about this, talks about that. But what they're not admitting is that they might be part of the problem.
Well, yeah, and that's
I,
the first step to change and recovery is admitting.
Is admitting that there's a problem. Hey, and that is the truth. I mean, it's a long history of it, man. I mean, I can do like a 1-year show on it, because, I mean, it is serious. I know so many people. I myself, you know, to this day, I really can't listen to house music, because I wrote a lot of it, I produced a lot of it, and I don't have a cent in my pocket from it. Okay. So, it bothers me a whole lot, you know, to see again that it's still going on. But I really, really wish, you know, like your R. Kelly's, your Kanye's, your Common, if those people would actually take a stand against our practices in Chicago, it would really change. You know, when you look at, you know, we had the Do or Dies and the Crucials, you know, to really make the impact they made, the Brat. The impact she made, you know, R. Kelly, you know, I mean, we got a lot of people that made a lot of impacts, but then you look at, you know, how they distance themselves from Chicago because of those snakes, you know, and that is wrong, you know, and, I mean, you understand, but, you know, when you were there, first thing you said, oh, they sold out, they messing with them Texas people, they sold out, they messing with them Atlanta people, because you don't get a chance to see up until that snake jumps up and bites you. Once that snake bites you, you're like, oh, man, I better go out of town like this. You know, it's time to go. You know?
Right, and you know I'm trying to move now.
Right. I know. Hey, when I read it,
it bit me hard.
Yeah.
Only difference
when I read
is I'm exposing it.
I died. I said, see, there go another one. We get bit and we get up out of that town because, I mean, that whole false pretense of I can blackball you in Chicago. Oh, I mean, Chicago is one city. You go blackball me and I'm doing shows all over the U.S.? What are you taking away from me in Chicago? I mean,
but for me, it's like you could go, and I'm just going to say, I mean, everybody knows by now who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Naki. I mean, you could go ahead and threaten, you can go ahead and threaten me all day, but what does that make you look like?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, expose yourself. I mean, go ahead and expose yourself. I mean, like, they went on my YouTube channel and took off. They put me as unknown artist on all my songs. As soon as I put them on blast for that, next morning I look at my YouTube, Jay Silva's back up there. And then it said written by Naki. It's like I wrote my own shit. Don't sit up there and say you wrote it.
Wow.
And they put up there like, okay, then he giving me no credit. It's like, yeah, we wrote together, but I wrote everything, and then he came in and was like, let's change this one thing, you know, let's add this. But don't sit, like, I sat in my room and wrote those songs. Those are from my heart, from my head, from me. So don't sit up there and start taking credit.
Well, yeah, you know why he did that, right? The thing is, you know, I'm not saying that you left yourself vulnerable because I'm a songwriter. I've been a singer-songwriter for, you know, professionally for over 15 years now. And, you know, when somebody, and this is word to wise, if someone that you, you know, working with, you know, want to tweak this and tweak that, you know, say you need to change this and change that, 9 times out of 10, they're trying to get credit where credit is really not
right.
You.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to take that
mm-hmm.
credit, they're going to take advantage of that. So you as an artist and you as a businesswoman have to make that business decision on whether, okay, you're going to go from the heart or you're going to just listen to someone else. Me, I go from the heart. I listen to my heart. I listen to my mind. Yeah, you can tell me all day long what you think. You should change this up and change this from, you know, dropping it to popping it. All right, that's fine.
Right.
That's your opinion. But if my heart telling me to say drop it, that's how it's going to be. And you're not going to take credit for putting one little word in there. It's just not going to go down
right.
Like that.
And when I would be in the studio, you know, say we had a disagreement, here he would be like, you know, ultimately I make the decision. So if I was like you said, dropping it or popping it, like if I was like, I want to say dropping it, he said, I want to say popping it, if we went with my way, I'd have to deal with the huffing and the puffing and the angry, and now the session has gone downhill.
But you know what? You have control over that.
If I would have went his way, I would have been unhappy, but I wouldn't have to deal with the drama. So I would be like, all
right,
you know, whatever, let's just, no, I don't want to deal with the drama. And then, you know, he'd, you know, pull out the card like, I'm however old he is, 35, whatever, he's older than me, he's been in the industry longer, he knows. It's like devaluing me. Like, I know
right.
how to write. Like,
and exactly,
right.
But you know what? You have control over that. You have total control over that. You know how you got control over that? Because you believe in yourself, and which it sounds like you do, and you're talented. You know, it sounds like you are. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 more producers out there that would love to work with you. That's
but
not going to try to control you.
It took me a long time to learn that. It took me a long time
exactly.
to learn that, a long time to get the strength for
all
that
good.
Because I'm sitting here with threats, you know, left and right. You do this, I'm going to tell people this. It's like, you know, it took me, you know, until one day I was like, you know what, forget about it. Like, you can put me out there as much as you want, but you're going to make yourself look bad.
Yeah.
But you know what? Don't deter your dream because of
mm-hmm.
a rotten apple that's trying to spoil your bunch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't do that to yourself.
Well,
you owe it to yourself to move on and on to the next one and you know, progress and succeed in what you're doing. You owe it to yourself. You don't owe nothing
and
to
And that's
yourself.
Why I'm so grateful I have so many people that support. I mean, like, you know, he had me thinking, like, nobody's going to support you. But
well, of course.
I've had, like, nothing but support. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it just is like, it could, like, seriously, like, make me cry. Like, I've cried about it. Like, I can't believe these people, like, support me. And they're, you know, believing me. I mean, I'm not asking for people to take sides, but I know the truth will shine through. You can lie all you want, deny all you want, but I have no reason to lie. We're not millionaires. You're not a millionaire. I'm not trying to get money from you. I don't need any of that. Like, but you know, you're trying to take me down, and I'm not going to let you.
And don't. You know what? If you believe in yourself, and it sounds like you do. If you believe in yourself, and you know what your self worth in this business, and you know your self worth as a woman, your self worth as an artist. You know what? It's not going to be a matter of taking sides. People going to see, you know, what it really is. And guess what? You know, they're going to flock to you. They're going to come to you. You know, like with me, I've been through the trenches in this music game in the 15 years I've been doing it. But guess what? I got a fan, you know, I got a fan base. I got a fan base in countries I've never even heard of. You know, I mean, that believe in what I'm doing. You know, the comments I get on my Reverb page, my SoundCloud page. I mean, in fact, I want to share something real quick. Just last week, I became, you know, I'm good for, you know, requesting certain people on Facebook, and I do it for a reason. And I'm just telling this, you know, because, you know, I want you to see what I'm saying and just kind of, you know, now, I'm not saying take my advice, but think about it. Okay, it's no secret how much I love Diplomat, which is Get Set. It's no secret how much I love Cameron and his music. It's no secret how much I've been wanting to work with them for the longest. However, you know, hip hop. You know, the original hip hop and you know, Love and Hip Hop. You know, was based on Jim Jones and Chrissy. You know, his now fiance, and then they got their own spinoff show. Well, you know, last week, early part of the week, I became friends. Well, I requested her best friend, Talia Cole, who is Trey Songz's stylist, but she's also an artist, and I had heard of her before she even came on the show. I knew who she was. You know. So, you know, I requested her as a friend, and she actually accepted my friendship. And, you know, I reached out to her. I said, look, you know, you fly. I love the way, you know, your style of dress. You fly. You know, I posted one of your videos. You know, I mean, you're the real deal. You know, I gave her props, you know, but I pulled back, and I said, I'm not going to sit here and kiss her ass, but I'm going to give her props where it's due because I do like her. However, I wrote this song last year. Well, I want to say late 2011, early last year, called Jim and Chrissy Love. You know, it was inspired by the you know, their little you know, reality show called Chrissy and Mr. Jones. I mean, I got this track from this cat from New Jersey, and I don't know, I was just sitting in my bedroom, and I started, like, you know, humming to it, and, you know, I just started doing, you know, certain things to it, and then next thing I know, I started writing words, and then the hook just, you know, started off, you know, the hook just became Jim and Chrissy Love. You know, it's that Jim and Chrissy Love. So something told me, M.E., inbox her, you know, that song on Thursday. And I said, you know, it's a 50-50 chance. She's going to do one of two things. She's going to, you know, say, yo, you know, I don't like people spamming me. I don't like people sending me music and stuff. You know, don't do that. Or she's going to like it. It was a 50-50 chance I took as a businesswoman, as an artist. Well, Friday, I'm on Jimmy Carter, and I'm getting messages, you know, from her saying that I'm going to listen to the song. If I like it, I'm gonna post it. On Jim and Chrissy's wall, because I'm not their Facebook friend, but she is. Well, I'm driving down the street, and I'm getting messages from her saying that I love this song. I can't stop listening to it. She said she was in tears. She said, I'm going to play it for Chrissy and Jim tonight. And I'm like, well, you know, okay, she said she's going to do it. Okay, cool. But, yo, somewhere around, I want to say right before 10 o'clock, I went to my Facebook page inbox, and she had sent me like three messages saying, she said, guess what? She said, I just played it for Jim and Chrissy. She said, Chrissy is crying right now. She loved this song so much. She said, tell you, thank you so much. And I can't tell you how full my heart was and how I felt so validated, you know, to have someone that's been in the music industry like Jim Jones for 15 years plus, you know, co-owner of Diplomat Records, you know, signed on the Def Jam at one point. You know how that made me feel as an artist to get that kind of validation. I mean, yo, to make somebody cry. I mean, Chrissy is a celebrity in her own right. You know, she carries that. You know, that she carries that reality show. You know, Love and Hip Hop, the first season, and then she got wound up getting her own show. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, it just made me. I mean, oh my God, I can't explain in words how that made me feel. So it's just like, you know, me personally. You know, I listen to, you know, the constructive criticism, but at the end of the day, I believe if I see the artist, I go with my heart. And I go with my mind. I go point blank.
You have, I mean, that's what an artist is. I mean, like that's what's kind of hard about being an artist in a way, because like, you know, when you meet these industry people, it's like they're not worried about your artistry. They're worried about selling records. So
exactly.
that's when it's a fine line. It's like, you know, are you going to go with your artist mind and say what's in your heart, or are you going to do what they're telling you to do and, you know, make this pop song? You know, that people.
No, you're going to rebel and go with your, you're going to go with your gut instinct. You're going to go with your feeling. You're going to go with your heart. Now, if you have someone like Patti LaBelle or someone like Millie Jackson, if you have someone like Prince telling you certain things, then you might want to listen. But if you
right.
have someone that ain't even, like, you got a name in the game, like the guy that you're dealing with, you might,
yeah.
you know, you it's probably not a good, you know, a good idea to really listen to him, because you have to remember, this dude is trying to get in the game too. He's trying to get,
right.
you know, get to a certain place, and he's trying to use you as a stepping stone. So, okay, so if I sit up here and tell her to do this, she's not even up to do it, then I'm going to just, you know, dance circles around. I'm going to dance on her, and I'm just going to destroy her career and you know, and build mine off of her weakness. And you don't want that. You don't want that. You have to stand your ground. And like, if he tell you, you know, I don't like this, and do it this way. You know what? You know how many times I've been in studios where I've been put in time. I've been put in a corner, you know, by a producer, because I couldn't have my way. You know, I mean, I'm like, yo, I'm whatever. Put me in a corner. But I tell you what, when I come out this corner, I'm doing it the exact same way.
Right.
And it paid off. I'm not gonna let somebody dictate my career. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm the one that's right. I'm the one with that pen and pad. You can't dictate my thoughts. You know, that's
right.
the case. Then I had a dream speech have gone down the drain, because my dream is not even a dream. It's just you know, I have someone, you know, a puppet controlling. You know, I'm a puppet and someone's controlling me. So it's like I don't even have a dream of my own.
It's not in me to be a puppet. I'm not capable of doing it. That's probably a large reason of where I'm at. But where I'm at, I am much happier than I was, you know, last year at this time. So, you know, being true to myself, I mean, I've had the best year so far. I mean, like, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to do me. You could say and try to do what you want to me. I'm going to write what I want. I have been building my own studio, and I have some great supporters. My man, P. Noble, he's been a huge supporter. He's had my back. He's a I know he's out in Atlanta a lot, actually, doing, like, directing, like, videos. You know P. Noble?
No, I haven't heard of him. I'm sure I will eventually, because Atlanta is so small. I'm telling you.
That's
like,
what I'm about to say.
I've been like, you know, real blessed to have people that have had my back, and, you know, just help motivate me and tell me that, you know, what you're doing is not wrong, and you're talented, and you don't need anybody. Like, not that I don't need anybody. I mean, of course I need people, but I don't need him, and he wanted me to need him.
Right.
You know what?
Like,
now
I can't make it without you. You know, like, but you know, I'm much happier now. I feel much freer. I mean, I wake up in the morning. I'm good. I'm happy.
No. And you know what? Now I said it best. All I need is one mic, one pen, one pad.
There you go.
That's all you need. You
have
that one mic.
Exactly. LL said it best. I need a beat.
I need a beat. Just give me a beat and let me put my thoughts out on the let me tell you, I need a beat and let me just take my frustrations out on the mic, yo. I mean, I'm telling you, that's just how you do it. You got to become a beast in this.
The best therapy.
I'm really glad to hear that. From artist to artist, I'm happy to hear that. You know that you're content, that you're happy, you're peaceful. Because I'm telling you, when you have other people telling you what to do, and when you have people that's got their hand out
and trying to steal from you. I've had someone try to steal from me. But, I mean, now, granted, you know, I went the any means necessary. I kind of veered away from Martin Luther King and the peaceful movement. To, dude, if you don't take this song down, and, you know, you just saw me on here for 19 days, you want to sit and tell me that you didn't know my email address? Dude, you use the same email address that I sent you the song to feature on. That's how you get the song back to me. Yo, you got 5 minutes to get it down, yo. 5 minutes. I'm like, yo, are you in Jersey? You in South Jersey? I know where you at. I got family. I got friends. I got a whole South
on,
Jersey.
Sure.
And shout out to Stack
Up. Don't get him.
Yo, I got folks that will deal with you. You know, you got to take it down. And he called me like that. And he's like, well, let's talk about. No, we don't need to talk about nothing because you done crossed the line. You try to steal from me. And, you know, I'd rather you just go ahead and just kill me than steal from me. Oh, yo, you don't take this song down.
Oh, yeah.
Not only did I do the copyright infringement thing, but I threatened this dude.
Yeah.
I had a dude so shook that song was down in 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, 5 minutes. Like, my contract, like, you know, they say they'll let me out if I pay this ridiculous amount of money, sign a confidentiality agreement, which I'm not doing because you're not going to keep me quiet, and sign over my publishing. I am not signing over my publishing. What, so you can sell one of my songs to Beyonce and I don't get a dime?
There's ways around that, honey. Get you an attorney and fight it.
Mm.
I'm gonna fight. You know, you're not gonna sit up here. You're not gonna stick your foot on my neck and have me just not being able to move. That's not gonna happen. I'm a fighter.
Oh.
I've been a fighter since day one. And I'm telling you, when you got lawyers, I got lawyers too. You got a gun, I got a gun too. That's how I look at it.
Right.
No, I got a better question. How the hell he going to be a broke-ass should? I'm going to say, I got it. My bad. We ain't got a beef. I'm going to say, how he going to be a broke should? Hey, some of the only kind I know got people signing over there. How you going to be a broke should?
Wow. Yo, is he dead in the balcony and stuff? Is he really that terrifying? Like, what? You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of him. But I wasn't scared of him in that way. I just didn't want, like, you know, saying him's in my dream since I was a little girl. I mean, I can honestly say I was brainwashed.
So you
know,
weren't physically afraid of him.
You
just were more afraid of your career, you know, falling or going to the tank because of someone else's doing, you know, someone else's wrongdoing. And I totally understand
right.
it. We've all been there. All
right.
been there.
Yeah.
So,
and, they will claim up and down to this day that the reason they will not finish the contract with me is because I can't write or because I wasn't being productive. How can you be productive when you're clouding my mind this badly?
Yeah.
You just said, something that was really, really key. You just said something that was really, really key. You said finish the contract. So guess what? If they're not holding up, they're in contractually. You know, if it's in your contract to write,
it's a breach.
Then they're not holding up that end.
Breach.
Then they are breached. They're in breach right now. So you got something to stand on. You got you. How about you have a leg and a kickstand to stand on? How about that?
And I told them, and I said, you're breaching the contract, but they say we're not breaching the contract because the reason we're not able to finish the contract is because you're not being productive. Well, I'm sorry, I can't be productive when my producer is trying to bang me every day, and I don't want to.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, but it's the truth, and it's like, you know what? Ever since I got away, I write every day, and my writer's block is cured.
You got it. She got away from Jack the Raper. Oh no! What are you doing?
Don't let no dude give you writer's block. Shoot.
No.
If anything, you don't let the dude give you writer's block. Shoot. What you do is let him give you cock block, where you block your cock and this dude getting to you. That's what you do.
Hey, hold on. Hey, we're gonna get some Jay Silver, and then y'all know we got Catrice. Catrice about to give you a hip for, cause she been on hold here for a minute. We're gonna get some Jay Silver, but she better give me a radio edit version of this song. I love this song, man. Y'all, here it goes with me right now.
I think I'm falling in love with you.
asking what you saying, lame, make a damn change. Before the fame, I was watching all your moves. The way that you walk, the way that you talk, feeling you, girl. Jumping the fence against the head, it's all new, girl. Put a diamond on your feet, all new. If you're falling in love, baby girl, come here. I'm here.
Music in the background, and I'm broke. You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, I fully understand that, you know. So, I mean, I just really wanted to give the opportunity. You know, they said there's two sides every story and all of that. And, I mean, but just the artist in me, you know, says that, you know, every artist should always have that opportunity to open up because the company is going to always have. You know, company builds a whole lot of, you know, as a company, we build a lot of relationships. So we have a lot of media outlets to get our information to as a company. But as an artist, we're always limited because the relationships we have are basically with the relationships that the companies have. So we don't really have those relationships as an artist, which is why I'm glad I'm an artist and company. I get to build relationships all over the place.
It's both worlds.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely. We totally got away from Sunday.
Hold on, who we got here? Let me see who else we got here. We got 414. 324. Who we got on this line?
Hey, how you doing, Catrice?
Hold on.
All right. Right on.
Okay.
Hey,
we're
going to start playing background music for Mississippi, y'all. He's going to have his own background music.
Is this a good time, Mississippi? Because Mississippi, believe it or not, T.L., Mississippi was slightly coherent yesterday, and I understood everything that came out of his mouth when he called the Nicky show last night.
You lying.
Yeah. No,
you
I ain't lying. He was,
he was coherent. Every word. I'm talking all the
every
words.
Every word.
That's my man, Mississippi. That's what I'm talking about right there.
You know, with a name like Mississippi Red, he needs his own background music. Something like, you know, some Robert Johnson, some Bayou stuff, some, you know, down in the Delta music.
Don't he sound like an old school pimp? Don't he sound like an old school Mississippi pimp?
Mm-hmm.
I have my cornbread.
With a do-rag in the back.
That's right. I'm pimping behind the outhouse and the chicken coop.
Right.
He needs his own cape. We need to be putting a cape on him like James Brown. That's what I'm talking about.
That's
right.
Y'all, Gary, please all get out. You better have my pot of chillin'. Where my pot of chillin's at, girl? Well, I told you. Somebody get my ring so I can smack her.
Okay. I like that. This is shit.
Hey, Chief, what's going on? What's happening? What's the business?
Man, you know, nothing. I did two shows yesterday. I was Nikki Outlaw, and then we got Lil Ranchi on the Raw Deal last night. If I stay awake long enough, I'm going to give B-Mo some love. Man, you know, I've been interviewing and rocking and I, you know, let me tell y'all something. This is some funny stuff here. Okay. So, I know, I'm at Cumberland Mall in Cobb County. Okay. And it's this couple arguing down, about to have a drive-by fight. And something tell me, you might want to go over there and say something. Now, normally, you know, because I'm from Chicago, normally you don't even bother nobody's business. You know, you let them be.
No, you watch. Yeah, you watch.
Right. You watch from the sidelines, but you want to make, because you don't want to be a witness. You got to make sure you're watching that you're not a witness. Okay? I'm from the west side. You got to understand.
West side, baby.
You don't want to be a witness.
Make sure you throw that claim. Yeah, throw that disclaimer out there. Emmy, we're not from the same side as Chief Keef, okay? All right, go ahead.
No, not at all. Not at all. So they are in. So, you know, me, the marriage counselor, I come up to them. I said, listen. You know, y'all over here arguing in public. I mean, you know, I'm overhearing y'all conversation. I can help you. So dude kind of look at me sideways like, you know, I know he wanted to call me a B, but, you know, oh, well. But she perked up. She like, yes. I passed my card. I'm like, listen, you know, y'all ain't got to call me now, but, you know, y'all need me. So give me a call. So by the time I walked down the hallway to get to the store where I was going to, they done called and scheduled an appointment. So in just a matter of time, I was in Cumberland Mall and I picked up some business trying to interview for a job.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, baby. See, now me, how she look? What she look like?
She, you know what? What's tripped out about it? She's fine, and he was ugly as hell. And I'm thinking to myself,
let me tell you about some ugly ones. You ever seen Tukey play this game with Vivica Fox? Let me tell you,
yeah.
You some ugly ones that put it on you. I mean, you can't stand to look at them, but I'm telling you, they put it on you so good that they look fine for at least 30 minutes.
Then, you know what? Here's the thing. You only can close your eyes for so long. For real.
Right.
I mean,
I don't know
really.
If enough,
man, I mean, I'm telling you. You're going to have to open one eye. Crack one eye
to
open
one.
At least. At least one.
The thing is, you open that one eye and it's still good. You're like, I don't give a damn. His face messed up. His teeth messed up. But damn. Woo! But then at 30 minutes old, you'd be like, what did I do this for? Get on out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Get out of here. He was stressing her. Like, I'm sitting there like, man, what? I just want to put this aside. Like, listen, now, you can do better than this.
Well, see, the thing is, he know in his heart that he lucked up by getting her, so he going to try his best to break her down, get inside her head and mess with her and she weak enough. I mean, because you're beautiful don't mean you're strong.
Exactly.
It's more weak, beautiful women than there are, strong, beautiful women. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's more weak ones out there. You know what I'm saying? Your Halle Berry. You think about Halle Berry when she talks about when she and David Justice, when their marriage failed, she drove to a cliff and was going to drive over the cliff. That tells you right there.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have let her drove over that cliff. I'd have grabbed that Halle, girl. You got to let me get just a look at before you go over. That's all. No, but for real, I'm going to start my own. I ain't trying to compete with you, but I'm going to start my own marriage counseling practice. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a bunch of women that got ugly men that's making them mad, and I'm going to tell them the best way to get over your other ugly man is to get under another ugly man. Now, come here, girl.
You said get under another ugly man. I better have the bus. I better go up on the bus. I'm like, I can't do no ugly man. I'm sorry.
I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, T.R., I know you be on the, train. Have you noticed these big ass fans chained to the benches in the train station? I'm not understanding that concept. It's hot as you don't know what in the subway. What is this big fan chained to a bench gonna do for me? Now I got off the train and I saw the fan and I saw the bench and I said another self comment. So maybe you need to go over there to the fan and sit in front of it. Well, Big Bertha beat me to it. Okay? Big Bertha beat me to it. She had about five breasts and about two booties. And I was like, I said again to myself, well, maybe she needed it because, that's a whole lot to cool off. So I was like, I don't understand the concept. That's what I'm trying to understand. What makes Marta think that it's gonna be cool? It's gonna cool you up.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna tell you. Let me tell you why. It's because of this app. I have a young man who was at work, and it was scorching hot outside, And I viewed this young man with his phone, and I said, of course you can't have a phone on the ramp. So I immediately went to this young man. That's gonna be some paperwork. And my man said, but I wasn't texting, I promise. I had my fan app up because it's too hot. He had a fan app on his phone. Hey, y'all, hold on. Let me get set up. let me get Sharon so he can introduce this song, man, because, you know, we almost off here. Sharon, what's going on, man? I thought you wasn't going to join us, bro.
What's up, man? What's going on? What's
yeah.
Yeah, my bad,
link,
man.
The missing link. The messed up missing link.
Man, I get in the car with the wife. She, you know how she gets to talking. I forgot all about it, man.
Oh no!
Patrice. You know we always got to do that. That's the best part about having one.
Blame it on the wife. It's always the wife.
That's right.
That's the best part about having one. Y'all blame us too. Don't get it twisted.
Well, she ain't blaming it on the alcohol. That's good. At least she admitting it. So,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
Ain't blame
that. Right?
No excuse to start after 12.
Okay. So you got to tell me. Wait a minute. For any of my new listeners, man, Stern Demand. This is alumni. This is Lawless Radio, man. Monday night game
all
time.
All day, every day. We'll be back, man. We'll be back.
Oh, yeah. We're going to start a petition, man. Monday night. You get back on Monday night. I'm going to start my own petition. That's right.
Yeah, I'm
looking out for it. I'm going to be on your
front door. Start a Facebook petition. If we get 40 likes, I'm back.
Hey, don't turn to him. When you turn to him, he's going to do it now.
You understand what you just said, right?
I know what I just said.
There you go there. You're going to have your 40 likes in about an hour, so next Monday you back on the air then. How about that right there?
Okay.
Hey, he think I'm playing, Patrice.
Man. Okay, man.
Patrice Why is my witness.
Okay. Here you go then. Y'all, hey, Emmy, understand, we finna go ahead and make this happen real quick.
I don't know about the song, though, man.
I checked out the song, man, and I mean, you know, in today now where it's about popping the booty and hitting it right, you know, getting drunk and all of that, man, a song like this, man. You know what made you do the joint, man? What was on your mind? What was your business?
What was on my mind is it was right around the time when Kendrick Lamar dropped that control verse, and I saw how many people was reacting to it, how many people was jumping on that, and then I'm realizing that the 50th anniversary of the most prominent speech in the history of America is coming up, and nobody is addressing it. And add to the fact that our youth these days don't appreciate all that we had to go through to get the rights that we have now. So because they don't appreciate it, they're not taking advantage of it. And I just wanted to point that out. Like, we need to take advantage of these opportunities that people die for. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And, I mean, I listen to it. We're going to go ahead and get into it, and then we're going to come back, y'all. This is Lawless Radio, baby. We in overtime around here. Y'all stay right
here. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
Walks a foreign being then.
all across the nation.
But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. Now those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied?
5 4 years later, freedom is good, but equality is greater. How my skin makes me less than my neighbor? Why I can't have a great education? Why we can't all eat at the same table? Why I gotta give up my seat cause they ain't able to find their own? My feet hurt too. Why I gotta be unemployed? I can be at work too. Me and the king wrote the great speech by the name of Martin Luther Jr. And he gave the I Have a Dream speech. And that added fuel to the movement. He promoted change through peace. But he stood for the right to freedom. And he ain't had to raise no peace. So even in death, we still won. Our freedom back. Slaves of drugs, the slaves of the system. Meanwhile, the fathers and the families are missing. Without the head, run wild as a chicken. Where could anything go without direction? How could the baby feel safe without protection? It's time for a black father resurrection. Instead of taking foreign things, we should be with our kids and our queens. Not dream chasing. I ain't saying don't strive to be great. Ain't nothing wrong with dream chasing. Let's get involved in our kids' education. Not only showing up the day of graduation, we're no longer slaves, a lot closer to being equal. My dream, we get ourselves together as a people.
Let freedom ring from the forest of California. Not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee.
And it was powerful. It was very powerful. So, you know, hats off. on that one.
I appreciate the love. I really do.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely got it, man. I mean, you hit on there. And me, Catrice, what's going on? What y'all think of the joint?
Yo, I like it. I mean, like, from the start of the beat and then the first word, I'm like, yo, this is so positive and it's just so tried and true. I love every inch of the song. I'm you know, really enthusiastic about seeing the video. So I can have, you know, the visual to go with the, you know, with the concept. I like it. I love it.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Hey, Sharon, post that video on the Lawless Radio fan page, man, so I can share that out.
Okay, cool. Got you. As soon as I get back to the crib.
That is it right there, cool. Man. Yeah. Yes, man. Catrice, you still there? After getting ready to get me a tier 4?
Well, you know, Sharon, that was excellent. You know, and I was jamming to it. Had it in those speakers in the kitchen. I'm, you know, going I'm doing wifey stuff right now, so I'm in the kitchen. But I like it. I like it.
Hold on, what y'all doing around now?
Man, you know, I'm trying to make sure everybody's fed. I'm trying to get lunches together. I'm trying to do that mom
Catrice
stuff.
Catrice in the kitchen. You know, Catrice in the kitchen. We starting to think other things.
Let's keep it clean.
I said you're doing your motherly duties right now. That's motherly.
I'm doing
your motherly duties. That's what's
I'm doing. I'm doing my motherly duties right now. Yes.
That's right. I didn't say your wifely duties. I said the motherly duties.
The motherly duties. The little ones need me right now.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. We know each other well. We can speak in code without everybody else picking up on what's happening.
Exactly.
Tell Buck, I said, put that chocolate syrup back in the refrigerator. It ain't that time.
I know, right?
That's good. <what's up. laughs>
No more chocolate milk tonight.
No.
I'm up here with Pinot Grigio right now, so I can't even deny it. I'm with you. I'm with you, honey. I'm with you.
Thank you.
Can y'all still hear me?
Yes, we can.
If this man sing, ain't no woman like the one I got one more dang on time. He done spoke shit.
Hold on. You still on our name. We ain't on Law Straight After Dog, baby. You can't say the F word.
I mean, it's a song. But he be...
Hey, yo, CL.
Yeah.
CL.
Yeah.
I gotta go, man. Thanks for the love. I appreciate the love.
And
our second
no
song
doubt.
To be in rotation, and I'm definitely gonna call back more often.
Definitely.
I ain't gonna be a stranger. I only call back when I gotta drop something. I ain't gonna try to use it. And like I said, them 40 likes, I'm back. 40 likes, I'm back.
Hey.
Man, we got the 40 likes. We got 150 likes. So you need to go on and finish your time.
I think we don't need like 50 more for Lady Q to come back, though.
Tell her she getting her likes too, then.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Hey, you take it easy, bro.
All right, man. Thanks for the love, y'all.
Hey, man.
I'm
no
right.
doubt,
That's
man. No
Run.
Doubt.
All right.
Hey, y'all. We done hit Lawless Radio After Dark, man. Y'all know I'm going to end the show, man, with the speech, man. But I got to give my ladies the opportunity to send their shots out there. Catrice, what you want to say?
You know, I just want to say thank you to Lord upstairs, man. You know, without him, I wouldn't be here, and I'm counting all my blessings, and I'm not complaining about nothing. And that's all I got to say.
That's what I'm saying right there. That's what I'm saying. What you got for me, Queen?
All I want to say is I just praise and thank God, you know, for all he's done for me in the last couple of weeks. I mean, the monetary blessings that I didn't even expect that came, you know, last night when I came home, the envelope, I'm like, yo. I mean, it's like, it was just a blessing and, you know, being able to do certain things, you know, going out of town this weekend. I truly thank God for you, you know, believing in me, seeking me out, you know, and letting God use you to find me to be a part of this Lawless family. I'm so honored. I'm so thrilled. And I'm just so happy to be in this position. I love it. Love the Lawless family, Grit Grind, Wednesday is always going to be, you know. And also,
you know, I'm at the end of the day, I'm still an artist. I'm still a singer-songwriter. So, you know, if you want to hear my music, just go to reverbnation.com/ME. That's E-M-E-E. Also, Facebook, if you want to become a supporter. I don't like to say fan, but supporter. You go to facebook.com/ME, Queen of Afro Pop. Also, you can tweet me at Queen of Afro Pop. And like I said, if you want to just look at my beautiful face, you know, and the new pictures I put up there, my body, hey, hit me up on Instagram. That's ME/E/ Queen of Afro Pop.
Bam. I'm saying, y'all. She said a body, baby. I'm going to go check out those pictures.
I said that too. I'm like, body. I'm like, okay, let's go see.
I'm trying to stay in shape, man.
Hey, man, I want to thank y'all all for listening, man. Man, you know me, I'm always grateful for my team, man. It's my team that makes me, man. So it's nothing but love for my team, man. Y'all know I told y'all last week, man, I got to change up my shout-outs, man, because I didn't realize that it made that type of impact, and that was not what I was trying to do. You know, I just go ahead and put the shots out. You know, hit the radio. So I want to thank my team. I want to thank my family, you know, my people that keep me grounded. You know, the chairman, you know, is a character for the radio, but T.L. Lewis is who I am, and my people hold me down, my family and my team. They hold me down like nothing. So I want to thank them first off. Shout out to them. You know, I got to send a shout out to my people out there working airlines, my people in Milwaukee, my people in ATL, job, man. Y'all hold it down, man. Y'all keep them planes in the sky safely, rain, sleet, or snow. Y'all make sure them planes cool and y'all do it all so well. Nobody else says thank you. Nobody else says they appreciate you, trust, and know the chairman does. Remind y'all that Lawless Radio is a product of Lawless Entertainment. The music heard here, unless otherwise indicated, is not the sole product of Lawless Entertainment. However, we've been granted the broadcasting rights to be a part of this show. Simply go to lawlessradio.com. Click on the Submit Music tab. Make sure that y'all are following us on Twitter. That is at Lawless Radio, man. Make sure y'all following us the same way we support y'all. Support us, you know. And we definitely get your music in rotation. We do not do the pay-for-play thing, so don't look to that. All we want is good music. We want to support good music. Y'all haven't joined us on Facebook, man, y'all hit the page. It is Lawless Radio as well on Facebook. Twitter, you know, like I said, at Lawless Radio. Instagram, we are on there. Ain't no pictures yet, but we're on there. Same thing, Lawless Radio, man. I'm going to catch y'all back here next week doing the same thing, same time, man. Y'all tune in for my man B-Mo Flynn later on tonight. Lawless Radio After Dark. Catch my man Buck Bucking off tomorrow on Lawless Radio, man. End in the week or beginning of the week. I don't know which one it is. It's going to be
the beginning.
Doctors. Yeah, it's the beginning. We're the beginning
it's
of the week. Hey, Lawless Radio After Dark, Saturday Night Mail, Lawless Man, and we'll be back here next week doing the same thing, man, y'all. For the chairman and the queen, baby, I'm out. The Lawless World Order is in full effect, y'all.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
We are.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. A dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last,